Hello and welcome to the Houston Innovators Podcast. I'm Natalie Harms, editor of Innovation Map. This podcast is brought to you by Texas Citizens Bank. Through good and tough times, you need a bank that will stand by you. Texas Citizens Bank gives Houston small and medium-sized businesses the resources they need to thrive. As one customer says, a huge thank you to our friends at Texas Citizens Bank. Great customer service and down-to-earth good people. Call 713-948-5700 to learn more today. My guest for this episode is Robert Kester, President and General Manager at Honeywell Rebellion. Robert co-founded Rebellion Photonics in 2010 to provide gas monitoring, emissions mitigation, and compliance solutions for the oil and gas industries. After years of scaling and growth, Rebellion Photonics exited to Honeywell, where Robert still oversees the technology's development and deployment. On this podcast, Robert and I discuss the acquisition and what he's focused on these days, from a new temperature monitoring pandemic pivot to the changes in regulations with oil and gas and growing emphasis companies have on making sustainable changes. Robbie, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
I'm really excited to speak with you today about your entrepreneurial journey. So let's start at the very, very beginning. What was co-founding Rebellion Photonics like? And how did you realize you had a really marketable, game-changing technology?
Yeah, no, thanks for the question. It's been a while. Oh my gosh, I'm aging myself. But no, founding Rebellion, it's been a roller coaster. It's been so much fun. I think at the beginning, I was a grad student at Rice. PhD nerd in the background working on some biomedical applications. And that's when, it really started out as a technology looking for an application. So developed some really cool tech out of Rice. And for me, I've always been kind of an entrepreneur at spirit. And when I developed it, I was like, hey, this is really cool. This is fun. There's got to be a lot of potential applications for it. And that's when I started reaching out within the Houston community. First, I went to, the Rice incubators, and then they recommended we go, at the time, the Houston Technology Center. And so I went over there and met with that team. And that's really when I got connected with another, Rice business student at the time. And together, we teamed up and founded Rebellion actually started applying to business plan competitions. So we self-funded the initial stage of Rebellion, which I think is a little bit unique in the industry, especially oil and gas, because you think about oil and gas startups in this area, and it's like hundreds of millions of dollars of funding. And we started just as a couple of grad MBA students with just hustling and doing business plan competitions. So,
well, that's probably not too unfamiliar of a process for some of the startup founders listening in today. So, just for those who are unfamiliar with Rebellion's technology, what is it? How does it work? And again, why is it just such a revolutionary system for?
Yeah. So the technology, it's really cool. It's kind of branched beyond just my initial PhD work of these cameras that can detect chemicals, and it's really become an entire platform or solution, so to speak, of monitoring oil and gas sites. So that the technology is essentially these specialized cameras. They work in the infrared, so you and I can't see it, but they can actually see the fingerprints or signatures of hydrocarbons and gases. And so you deploy these cameras like almost like a ring setup at your doorbell, or somebody tries to steal your package. You set up our cameras at oil and gas sites, and we can visualize invisible gas clouds. We can tell operators where they're leaking from, what the concentration is, so they can send people out to fix it right away. And before these cameras existed, when the company first got going, it was right around the time of the Deepwater Horizon event. So you had this huge safety accident, just going off in the Gulf of Mexico. And we had these cameras, developed this camera that can visualize and detect gas leaks much, much better, more efficient, quicker, and safer. And so that the timing, that event with the technology, is really what drove me behind, you know, founding the company and going after the safety application.
Well, fast forward several years and your company gets acquired by Honeywell, which you now work at, still managing that technology. So obviously startups have several paths to exit. Was acquisition something that was always top of mind? And you know, how did that relationship with Honeywell begin?
No, absolutely. So you know, every company is kind of, you know, has its own, you know, growth phase, kind of how I think about it. And for me, it's always, you know, when we first got going, it was an idea on a napkin, right? We had no idea if this could work or not. So, you know, getting those first initial pilots from companies like BP and whatnot, you know, some of these major companies believing in us, deploying the technology, we kind of grew it to a point where, you know, we'd shown value to, you know, the majors in the industry. We were scaling the solution, but to really get this product out into the market quickly, right? And this is really two things were happening. Safety drove the company initially, but then the second thing is this environmental, you know, becoming a sustainability, and then really, you know, climate change. And we thought about it and said, listen, how do we scale this quickly? And that's when we looked at, you know, there's big companies out there, you know, that know how to do this, that you know, have the brand, the reputation behind it. And that's when we started exploring what that looked like. And Honeywell was a fantastic company, great reputation in oil and gas, you know, but a lot of other, I mean, even in your home or you know, a lot of businesses, the HVAC systems have Honeywell names on them. And so for us, it just made sense that you know, we could you know, team up with them and figure out how to scale this thing globally and quickly so that we can solve this, help be a part of the solution for climate change.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, of course, in 2019, not too different from nowadays, the state of climate change. Why is it an important time for this technology, and what are you focused on, you know, with the business?
Yeah, so a lot of people don't realize, I didn't know this either, but, you know, methane, which is the main gas of natural gas. So every home has natural gas in it. It's actually composed primarily of methane. Methane is a huge greenhouse gas global emitter of heat. In fact, I want to say it's like about 84 to 90 times more of a heat absorber than CO2, carbon dioxide. And so, you know, it's burned properly, used properly, it's actually a more efficient, more environmentally friendly energy source than oil or coal or you know, other hydrocarbons. But when it leaks into the atmosphere, it can actually be a lot worse. And when we realized that, we said, hey, we have a solution for this problem. We can set up these cameras. We can monitor for gas leaks in real time. And then on top of that, we're also working on essentially quantifying the amount released. So not only, so if there's a BP or a Chevron or Exxon or whatnot, they're leaking some gas. Nobody in the world today knows how much they're leaking. We know that the you know, atmosphere is getting more and more methane. We know that temperatures are rising, but nobody really knows how much they're leaking. So then how do you set performance goals to see if you're getting better? And that's where, you know, we love to work on hard problems here at Honeywell Rebellion. And so we said, listen, with these cameras, we can develop analytics that can actually look at the flow rate. We can calculate it and then start benchmarking sites and compare them. And so that's really what, you know, gets us excited now. I mean, safety, you know, obviously, you know, We love that part of it, but it's also working on this climate change initiative that really gets us going right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's one part necessary, just anyone thinking about it, of course, and making those effective changes. But the other part is regulatory changes that are happening that everyone's going to be pushed toward making more changes like this. So how does that factor into, you know, how you plan for your business?
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the, you know, as an entrepreneur, as a small company, I've always been wanting to do a sustainability play, get into the environmental, but you just, it's really hard because you need to speak at, you know, from the top all the way down. You need to be able to go to the EPA, you know, DC, all the way down to Texas regulators and operators. And it, it's just really, really hard and takes a lot of resources. And that's where being part of the Honeywell family now, we can really leverage a lot of those relationships. And where we're interested is getting the regulation aligned with industry to really do the best thing for the environment. Mm-hmm. And that's what's fun is to get those meetings to work with really talented people that are passionate about this issue, and then driving alignment. You know, what we're really striving for is to get the regulation to adopt the best technology, whether it's Honeywell. We're biased. I think our solution is the best, but we'd rather have the regulation aligned with the best available technology to really drive change and drive better, you know, environmental practices in the industry. And I don't think, you know, if you drive better environmental practice, it actually, we've proven it with a lot of our customers. We can make these sites more, not only more environmentally sustainable, but better operating and more profitable for operators. And that's what's cool too, is you can make money and be good for the environment. It's not an either or type of mentality.
Pivoting a little bit, you know, I thought it was really interesting, the Thermo Rebellion temperature monitoring solution that came about, I think due to COVID, you know, taking your technology and applying it in a way that allows for this monitoring in JFK and Boston Logan Airport. So tell me a little bit about how that came about, how that technology works and the difference between those airports.
Yeah, I think that's part of just DNA of always wanting to be an entrepreneur. So even in the Honeywell approach, right? I mean, COVID's locking down the country. My mind's going, well, how do we solve this problem? And so, you know, I was fortunate enough to have support behind me. And it was like, hey, Robbie, you know, senior leadership at Honeywell came to us and said, hey, how can y'all be part of that solution? And that's when we said, well, you know, we know people that get COVID, you know, there's a portion of them that get fevers. I'm seeing these, you know, handheld guns. I think we can do this better. And we were able to actually pivot our mini GCI product line. And instead of developing analytics that track like gas plumes and whatnot, my team was all in. I mean, everybody else was locked down at home. And we were like coming to the office working 20 hours a day. But we were working on something we were passionate about, which was, you know, how do we, you know, take temperature readings. We actually track the position of people's eyes. There's this, I learned a ton of biology, but we were actually able to take measurements of the tear ducts and correlate it to the skin temperature, which ends up being a good proxy for whether you have a fever or not. And so we were able to take that and then deploy it to, you know, airports like JFK. So I think the latest statistics I heard is we've scanned over 1 million, like, you know, U.S. Passengers and international passengers coming in and out of the country, which for me, I get a lot of satisfaction out of the fact that, you know, we're working on important issues and trying to keep the country safe.
Yeah, it's also a really interesting approach or I guess lesson in, you know, that cross industry innovation where new technology doesn't have to stay within the silo of the industry it originated in. You were able to make that pivot and also being at a company that toes the line between industries allowed you to make that quick application. Yeah, I think that's really interesting and a lesson for anybody who has a technology in a specific industry. Well,
yeah, and that's true too with the, you know, being part of you know, when we looked at Honeywell and, you know, they kind of have, I mean, it's a huge multi-conglomerate. So we were able to leverage, they do some, you know, oil and gas, but the airport verticals and aviation and whatnot, we were able to pivot into those too, which was fun.
Yeah. So. you know, the pandemic, and you mentioned, you know, being able to work through at least to get this technology out. How else did you observe the pandemic affect your business and maybe the industry as a whole?
Oh, gosh. I mean, in what area did it not change things? I mean, I think, you know, just flipping the switch, I mean, going virtual, that was a challenge. You know, supply chains have been a challenge. I mean, I think the one part that is still an area that we struggle with even today is maintaining the culture, right? That's something, especially as a startup, you kind of have that family, you know, culture. You see everybody every day. You know, eat dinner oftentimes, go out for happy hours together. So when you lose all of that, you just have to get more creative on, you know, how are you going to connect with people and be more purposeful. So that's one area. I mean, a lot of the virtual has been good. I think there's been some efficiency improvements. You know, our customers, we've actually gotten a significant amount of orders as well because a lot of our monitoring is remote. And so that's helped. But I think on the team building and culture side, that's an area that even today, it's something that we struggle maintaining and being creative about. So
that's a great point. I mean, remote monitoring is more important than ever when you can't be there in person. And with all the pivoting focuses on, you know, climate change and the effect and preventing that needle from moving too much further, does it feel like Rebellion and your technology within Honeywell is at this pivotal moment, almost like this moment of opportunity?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, I mean, that, you know, it's always been an important issue, but I think it just continues to get elevated, right? Year over year, it feels like it's becoming more and more important. And right now we have an opportunity both in Europe. I think that they're signaling that they're going to write some new regulations around methane, and they really want to focus climate focus, which, you know, I don't know exactly what all that's going to entail, but, you know, Europe is a huge importer of natural gas from the U.S. and the rest of the world. And so I know that they want to do something. I know right now in the U.S., this is front and center. There's a lot of action, you know, talk as well as action behind tighter methane regulations. And we know Canada passed some tighter methane regs a few years ago. So, you know, it feels like, you know, all of the key stakeholders are asking for it. And then, you know, I don't know if I've ever seen this in the industry as well, that the industry leaders now are asking for it too. So you have, you know, CEOs of these major companies coming out and saying that they're going to be net zero, right? That they're going to reduce methane emissions, that they support this. So it's, in the past, you kind of think, well, regulations, industries against them. But, you know, right now, I think everybody's kind of getting a line that they want to do something and they want it to be impactful. So from that perspective, I think we're really well aligned and we, you know, we're pushing our teams hard technically, our supply chain. I mean, getting microchips is crazy right now, but getting our products, you know, completely aligned and ready to go for, you know, not only meeting regulations that we think are going to come, but helping our company, you know, our partners, our customers to achieve their own self-imposed targets. So,
considering this kind of pivotal moment and all of the factors at play, what would you say keeps you up at night? What are you most closely paying attention to in this current economy?
Yeah, I mean... For me, it's always been, you know, really close as we can be with our customers, making sure that we're, you know, improving our communication with them, that we're aligned with their goals, that we're helping them, you know, get all the value they need out of our products and then continue to drive their initiatives. That's just biased. I mean, I'm an entrepreneur, so for me, it's the products and the technology. And I, you know, it's a race. I think that What we're seeing as well is competition is hearing about this as well. You know, they're pursuing their own products and initiatives. So it's kind of like there's a whole ton of momentum now in the sustainability area, the methane monitoring. And, you know, it feels like this is a pivotal moment in the industry where climate change is probably the most discussed it's ever been.
I also wonder, I mean, if there's something, you know, you've been doing this now for over a decade, what's something you wish you knew before you started down this journey?
What I could tell myself before, you know, it's, yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I think for me, you know, if I knew how challenging it would be, and I told myself that 10 years, I don't know if I would have done it, to be perfectly honest. But then when I look back on the journey, you know, in a startup, you have, you know, low lows, but you have really high highs. And I think I think you have to enjoy the process sometimes even more than the end results. And I can honestly say every day getting up, I'm still as excited about rebellion as I was before. And that's what continues to drive me even today. I mean, we're not really a startup. I mean, we've exited and we're scaling and growing the business. So it's like I'm in one of the top 50 companies in the U.S., maybe the world, right? I mean, Honeywell's massive. But still, every day, I'm more excited about Rebellion's future today than I was, you know, 10 years ago. I mean, I think that the number of opportunities, the number of people were benefiting their lives, I mean, that's what's really cool.
Yeah, I think boiling that message down to would be, it's really, really hard, but it'll be worth it. It'll be exciting. Yeah, absolutely. Because obviously you started your company here in Houston. How have you seen the entrepreneurship activity and the ecosystem here change throughout your tenure in it?
Yeah, no. I think that, I mean, Houston's always kind of been viewed as more of the much, you know, really large oil and gas established companies. I think when we first got going, there was very little support. I think it's changed and it's exciting to see. I'd almost say in the last, you know, couple of years, it's continuing to just build. I think I think Houston's a great place to have a startup, you know, and it's continuing to get better. You know, when we first got going, in fact, I was meeting with one of the my earliest customers, even right at when we got acquired, and she looked at me and said, "Robbie, you're like one of the few companies we kind of view that have successfully exited." And I was like, "Wow, that's crazy! I didn't realize that you know more startups haven't really experienced that exit kind of strategy yet." And so I think it's just a matter of time. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of entrepreneurial activity now. And I think it's just going to continue to grow and expand.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of what you evaluate innovation ecosystem on is the number of exits. So you are a direct contributor to raising that number here in Houston. So
yeah.
That's great for that. Well, and you know, and I think it is a testament to the ecosystem to have this evolving technology and growth happen here in Houston. So I appreciate what you're doing and how, you know, Rebellion's technology is growing. I think it's a true testament to you and of course and Honeywell for supporting it. So thank you so much for your time today. It was really great to get to talk to you and see, like I said, your entrepreneurial journey develop over these past.
Hey, thanks a lot, Natalie. I appreciate the opportunity to tell a little bit of our story.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Houston Innovators Podcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss next week's edition, and check out innovationmap.com for the latest Houston startup and innovation news. Bye.